So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. There's no place I would rather be. Amen. If we could get some lights up, that would be awesome. Now I can see everyone. Amen. So we're starting a brand new series titled Man in the Mirror. All right, so we got some people excited about Man in the Mirror this morning. So if you heard the song from Michael Jackson, while we're not promoting his music nor his lifestyle, this song, you might have heard of this song, Man in the Mirror. And I just want to look at just the chorus of this song, because it has some truth in it. We're not going to take Michael Jackson as our defining doctrine in life, but just look at me and bear with me for a second. It says, I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. And no message could have been clearer. If they want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and then make a change. So that's kind of what this series is about, looking at ourselves in the mirror, and the mirror being God's word, and saying, you know what, it's my responsibility. I take an ownership for my life and for the results of my life. This is where I've become because of me, because of my poor choices, or because of my good choices. Ultimately, because of the Lord, if it's good. But, I mean, if you made poor choices in your life, then you have to look at yourself, you know what? It was me. Looking at the mirror and saying, yeah, I've contributed to that. As many of you know, I was divorced before, so there was a season of singleness, a good 3 years after I was divorced, and the Lord really began to work in my life. He really began to show me, Ted, this is where you were wrong. This is what you did to affect, you know, the relationship. And so as the Lord would point this out, I had to ask myself, is there any truth to this? Am I at fault in this? Because we like to pass the blame. We're like, no, surely it was not me. Surely it was all her. That can't be from the Lord. That has to be the devil, right? Because it was not my fault at all. But as the Lord really began to speak, he said, no, Ted, it was you. It was your words, your unkind words. It was your selfishness. And so all these different things contributed to a failed marriage. And I had to honestly say, God, you're right. So as I'm looking in the man in the mirror and the Lord's exposing things in my life, I have to say, God, you're absolutely right. And so because ultimately the mirror doesn't lie, right? So how many guys spend more than 1 hour looking in the mirror? Oh, come on. We're at church. I mean, there are no liars at church. Right? And so we know that there are some people who probably woke up at 5 in the morning so they can get ready for today's service. We're not going to look at you. We're not going to condemn you. We all looked in the mirror for an extended time, maybe 10 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, maybe an hour. And the mirror only points out what's already there. Right? So the mirror doesn't change you necessarily. It just kind of points out what's there and what's not there. Some of us love what we see whenever we look in the mirror, right? My wife picks on me all the time. She's like, Ted, why are you flexing in the mirror? I'm like, well, I like what I see, you know? I'm like, man, the gym is really starting to take its work, right? And so I'm like, yeah, you know, and just flexing in the mirror. And then other people, you know, struggle. You're looking in the mirror, and, you know, they might not like what they see, or they might not be comfortable. But the mirror itself does not lie. It just simply a reflection of what's already there. And so by looking in the mirror, it's not going to make my triceps bigger, right? I actually have to go and pick up some weight and do a little work. Looking in the mirror is not going to make me it's not going to make me a fashion model by any stretch of the imagination. The mirror simply points out what's already there. Turn to your neighbor and say, the mirror doesn't lie. It does not lie. Now, so a couple things about a mirror. First of all, light has to be present in order for a mirror to work. All right? The next thing is that a mirror has to be a perfectly smooth surface. All right? So I have like a little mirror right here. And if we were to turn off all the lights, just turn off all the lights in the house. Oh, we still got TV lights. And we still got lights. But anyway, you get the idea that I can barely see my reflection in the mirror because light is really not that present. But if we were to cut all the lights in the house, which would be kind of hard, be kind of impossible. But if we were to do that, you would not see a reflection in the mirror because light needs to be. You can turn them all back on. Thank you very much. And as soon as we got it, it's all good. It's all good. We'll just go along with it. Now, this surface, as you can see, is a pretty perfect surface in order to reflect that which is standing in front of it, right? The other thing about a mirror, you know, if I was to set this down and if I was to wave at it, it is a mirrored image, right? So it would appear, even though I'm waving at it with my right hand, it would appear that my reflection is waving at me with his left hand, right? It's a mirrored image. So a couple of things about this as we get to the Word of God. God's Word is like a mirror in the fact that light is present. And whenever light is present, we know that Jesus is light. He calls himself light. And light shines upon an image and bounces off of this mirror known as the Word of God and portrays an image, right? An image that's created in the image and likeness of God. After that light bounces off and comes back to us, then it is a reflected image. In other words, your old self, what you used to look like, after reading God's word, is now the reversal because God has done something in your life. God has begun to change you. And so you are, it's in a reverse image of what you used to be. How many of you guys are grateful that you are no longer the person that God, that you were before you came to Christ? The image has been reversed, right? And so there's this great reversal that takes place whenever we look into the mirror of God's holy word. And, you know, we can look at other things. We can look at social media and we can look at the news. And none of these have the power to change a life. But whenever you begin to look at the word of God, the word of God alone has the power to change your life and for the best. Amen. And so as believers, as Christians, it is our duty, our responsibility to get into the word of God. Now, our message today comes from the book of James, chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there or it will be on the screen for you guys. So just as a mirror reflects what you look like on the outside, God's holy word reveals who you truly are on the inside. It says this in verse 22, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he is like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." So there are two different people in this passage that James talks about. There is the deceived person, and the deceived person hears the word of God or reads the word of God, but does nothing with it. Right? And then there's the blessed person who, upon hearing God's word, upon looking at that mirror, says, "You know what? There's something about this truth. There's something I want to know more. I'm a little bit curious about God's word," and really begins to dive into God's word and to know God's word even more. And then that word becomes alive and exposes things in your life. How many of you, like, whenever you read God's word, that he'll show you something and it's like, man, it pierces you in the heart, right? That's what it should do. It's a sword. It shouldn't feel good all the time. It should say, "Look, phew, feel that," you know. And so this is what you're going through. And so the word of God kind of exposes things in our life. Then it's up to us, right, to actually make the change, to make the change come about. Because the mirror itself, it's good. But again, the mirror is not going to add biceps to me. The mirror is not going to add triceps to me. I need to go to the gym and do that. So the word of God will expose things in your life. But just the knowledge of God's word is not going to change you. You actually need to put it into action. Amen? It's making sense? All right. So the great Charles Spurgeon, he has a couple of things that, about this I would like to read. He says, "Hearing of a feast will not fill you. Hearing of a brook will not quench your thirst. The information that there is gold in the Bank of England will not enrich you. You need cash in your own pocket. The knowledge that there is a shelter from the storm will not save the ship from the tempest. And the information that there is a cure for a disease will not make the sick man whole. Blessings must be appropriated and made use of if they are to be of any value to us. Oh, sirs, you know what you should do, but you have not done it. You would be very soon to quit my door and call me inhospitable if I gave you music instead of meat. And yet you deceive yourselves with the notion that merely hearing about Jesus and his great salvation has made you better men. And so we can read the Word of God, but if we do not apply the Word of God, it's much like hearing about a feast and not really partaking of the feast. It doesn't fill your belly. Or hearing of a brook, but and not drinking from the brook, it doesn't quench your thirst, is what he's basically saying. Or we go back to our little illustration about this mirror. And if I can get this stand lowered, see if this is going to work. All right, it's going to work. I think it's going to work. It's not going to fall. So the other way that we can make this really vivid in our lives is I got this mud. I think it's mud. Hopefully it's mud. Might not be mud. But nonetheless, we have mud. And I'm just going to take this mud and just kind of smear it all over my face. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, it's not mud. Oh. I'm just picking. So anyway, I got mud all over my face. You big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place, right? And so a man in the mirror, the first person, the deceived person, he looks into the mirror. He sees mud all over his face. And he does nothing to it. He does nothing about it. He just like, oh, yeah, I got mud on my face. It looks pretty terrible. In fact, I probably need a little bit more to make this illustration a little bit better. All right, so now we got mud all over our face. I think it's mud. Anyway, so we have mud all over our face, big disgrace, kicking your can all over the place, right? So we have this mud, and I look into the mirror. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, that's great. I got mud on my face, but I got a business appointment this afternoon. I got to talk to someone. I got this meeting with someone, you know, that we're gonna have fellowship with, and they're gonna be looking at me like, why do you have mud all over your face? And that's a valid question. Oh, because I looked in the mirror, but I didn't do anything about it. Well, isn't that kind of foolish? Well, yes, it is. And so the book of James, he's like, it's a man who look. He says that it's like a man who looks in the mirror, who beholds himself, and then forgets what manner of man that he is. Whenever we read God's word, but yet we do nothing about it. A better situation, or the more acceptable thing, would be to look into the mirror, be like, oh, wow, I got mud all over my face. This is, what a disgrace. They're kicking my can all over the place. We will rock you. So then a better situation is, you know, to look into the mirror and to wipe the mud off your face would be the better situation of the two. I think it's mud. Hopefully it's mud. We'll go with mud. But how many times, you know, we read God's word and it would expose something in our lives, but you'd be like, yeah, okay, I'm just going to move right along. No, the word of God, it's alive, it's active, it's a two-edged sword. And so it was powerful back then. Guess what? It's powerful right now. Whenever you read it back then, it still has the same effect as whenever you read it now. God's word is alive and active. The book of Hebrews chapter 4, 12 to 13 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. So the thing about this, about the mirror, it's not for God's benefit. It's not to let God know what's going on in your life. He already knows. He already knows. It says that he is able to discern. He is able to separate between joints and marrow. The joints being the hard part of the bone, the marrow being the soft tissue inside of the bone. He is able to discern between the two or separate between the two. He is able to separate between thoughts and intentions of your heart. The Lord is able to see all things. And so I tell men all the time, look, you can't help the first thought that came to your mind whenever, you know, perhaps you've seen something you shouldn't have seen. But you can stop that thought from making a nest in your head. You can rebuke that thought and command that thought to go. But the Lord sees your thoughts. He also sees the intentions of your heart. And so the Word of God is able to separate between the two. And perhaps that's why we don't come to the Lord, because our heart will be exposed. The Lord already sees it, but then the mirror of God's word reveals it to us, reveals our own heart. And whenever we see it, we see the mud on our face, big disgrace, kicking your can all over the place. We will rock you, right? And so we see this. The Lord reveals it to you. It's up to you to be able to do something about it, amen? So verse 12 says that God's word discerns your heart's thoughts and intentions. Are your thoughts spiritual thoughts? Are your thoughts more natural thoughts, where you think more materialistic things? He's able to discern the intentions of a heart, the thoughts and intentions of a heart. Looking at James chapter 1, verse 25 says, but the one who looks, so this is the other person, but the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty and perseveres, being no hearer but forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So we don't want to be a person who is deceived, who looks into the mirror, sees the mud, but continues to move on. No, we want to be a blessed person. Anybody want to be blessed in your life? Like, you want the favor of God to be upon your life, right? I think we all do. And the Bible gives us clear instructions that if you want to be blessed, then follow the word of God. And so just looking at this, it says, the blessed person looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty. Now, I have a definition for this word, look. And it comes from this Greek word. Starts with a P, and it says to look carefully into, to inspect curiously of one who become acquainted with something. And so you inspect it, you read God's word, but you don't just read over it. You're like, man, there's something about that. And so you dive in a little bit deeper, and as you're diving in and as you're learning, God speaks into your heart. He quickens something in your heart, and then that scripture becomes alive on the inside of you. Amen. And so this person is a blessed. Amen. So it's like, anybody ever seen a cow and you seen them eating, and they take this, they call it a cud, and they put it in their mouth and they just chew on it. You know, that's my version of a cow, if you didn't know. But and so they sit there and chew on this cud and getting all the nutriment out of this cud. And so it is with the word of God. We are to sit there and meditate on it, chew the cud, if you will, of God's word, and allow the nutriment to come into our hearts. And not just glance over it, but to really allow God's word to speak into our lives. Again, as he begins to speak, he will reveal your true self. That mirror of God's word, it's up to us then to make that change. So continuing, going back to Charles Spurgeon, he says something about this as well. He says, such an individual hears intently and earnestly, laying his soul open to the influences of the truth, desiring to feel its holy power and to practice its divine commands. That is the right kind of hearer, an earnest listener. So a hearer who desires a blessing looks closely into the word. Now, how many times have I heard, oh God, bless us. Bless this nation. God bless my family. We want the blessings of God, but we don't want the obedience to his word. You know, and I heard a preacher say one time, you know, we want God to bless America, but it's really time for America to start blessing God. Amen? And that's the only way that we're going to be a blessed nation. If we want to bless, if we want to be blessed, a blessed people, a blessed family, a blessed heritage, a blessed nation, a blessed city, if we want the blessings of God, we have to allow ourselves to look into the mirror of God's word and allow his word to reflect back on us and say, this is a better image of you. This is who I created you to be. And you allow his word to come and change you. Jesus would say this about blessings. Matthew 5, 6 through 10. He says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So we look into the mirror and see, well, God's word says if we want to be blessed, then we have to live righteously. It is what the Bible would say. But we say, no, we can do whatever we want to do, and the Lord's still going to bless us. That's not how it works. We look into the mirror and God says, this is the way to blessings. It's through righteousness, living uprightly. Are you and hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Let me ask you something. Are you hungry and thirsty for righteousness this morning? Or are you hungry and thirsty for more material things? Or are you hungry and thirsty for more money, more fame, more friends, more likes on social media? That's what drives you. Or are you hungry and thirsty for righteousness? Looking into the mirror of God's word, that's what he would say leads to a blessed life. What about blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy? So again, we look into the mirror and we say, if we want to be blessed, then we have to be merciful to those, even our enemies, those who have wronged us, those who have done terrible things to us, those who we have a problem forgiving. We have to say, God, I'm going to demonstrate mercy to them. Why? Because he has demonstrated mercy to us. Undeserved. Undeserved mercy. If I got what the Lord what I deserved in life, God would just open up the pit of hell and just kick me in. And that's what I deserve. That's what I deserve for my sins. He's merciful. The Bible says, if you want the blessings of the Lord, then you are to be merciful to those around you. Let's let God's word reflect back in our lives. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Not everyone will see God, but those who have a pure heart. Is your heart pure this morning? Or do you allow things from the exterior? You allow things from this world to come on the inside of your heart. Is your heart pure? Those are the people who will see God. Not everyone. Not everyone dies and goes to heaven. I'm sorry. And I don't even know if dogs die and go to heaven, so I don't know if that's a biblical movie. But it says that the pure in heart will see the Lord. Those who have a pure heart. And so we're looking at the mirror and we allow God's word. If I want to be blessed and if I want to see God, I have to allow his word to shine into my life and say, God, am I pure? Are my thoughts pure? Is my life pure? And he goes on and on and on, but just a few more. He says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. So again, looking at that mirror of God's word, am I a peacemaker? Or am I the one who carries the peace, you know? Like, you're the one who stirs up the trouble. You're the one who stirs up the pot. You're the one who stirs up the gossip. But the Lord would say, if you want to be blessed, if you want to abide in me and I in you, then it calls to be a peacemaker. And one more, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, you have no control over who persecutes you, and you don't. I'm not saying, well, I need you to persecute me because I'm a Christian so that I can fulfill the scripture. But what you do have control over is living righteously, right? Persecution will come as you live righteously. People, you will lose friends whenever you decide to live for the Lord. If you do it right. I mean, if you're living for the world and living for the Lord, then whatever. But you will lose, well, so-called friends, people who you think are your friends. They're only your friends while you're buying the bottle, and while you're buying while the tab is on you. They're only your friends in that moment. But as soon as you start living for the Lord and say, you know what, I don't want any part of that in my life anymore, you're going to find out who your true friends are. Amen? And so, if we want a blessed life, if we want the best that the Lord would have for us, then it requires us to look into that mirror. Allow God's word to reflect back to us through the light of Jesus Christ onto his perfect and holy word. How many guys know that God's word is perfect? Just like that mirror is a perfect surface, God's word is perfect. It stands alone. The only absolute truth in this world is God's holy word. Amen. That is the only thing that we can stand assured on, is God's word. So we look into this perfect mirror of God's word, and we ask ourselves, am I doing this? Am I applying whatever principle I am reading in God's word? Am I applying it to my life? Don't just glance over it. Oh, well, that was a good story about Job and how he lost everything. How does that impact you? What is God trying to speak to you? And so really begin to allow that mirror to shine into your life and to expose, this is who I am. And that's the thing about it. You have to be willing to say, this is who I am. You know, because, again, the mirror doesn't lie. Whenever God's word points something out to us, you have either one or two options. You can be defensive. Oh, well, that ain't me. That's for everybody else in the room. That's for my spouse. Yeah, she needs to hear that. Sorry, it's not really for you. But how many times we do that we just pass the blame? That's not really for me. No, it's for you. It's for you. It's for me. And we must allow, as hard as painful as it may be, to look in that mirror and say, I got mud on my face. That's me. This word is for me. The beauty about this is we might not have the ability in and of ourselves to clean ourselves, but through the blood of Jesus Christ, come on. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, he is the one who makes us clean. He is the one who makes us pure. He is the one who gives us strength. And so whenever you read God's word and you feel like, man, this is so overwhelming, how can I live up to this? It's through the blood. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please, as we end out this sermon? Two different types of response to the book of James. There's the deceived person, and there's the blessed person. I believe there are some people in this room who want to be the blessed people. That you want your families to be blessed. That you want your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren to be blessed. You want this blessing to pass on from one generation to the next. I believe there are a group of people in this place who are wanting that for their lives. And the way that we are blessed is by allowing the mirror of God's word to shine into our lives, to expose our true selves. This is me. And often our response is to repent. And so I want to give you the opportunity this morning. Perhaps there is something in your life that you just need to repent from. This is me. The word of God is speaking to me. He's looking at me and saying, deal with this. Deal with your selfishness. Deal with your sin. Deal with your sinful patterns. Deal with your addiction. This is you. Look at the mirror and say, I have not been a peacemaker. I have been one who stirs the pot. I have not been pure in heart. I have not followed after righteousness with all that is within me. I have pursued other things. Allow the mirror of God's word to shine into your life this morning, because it does not lie. God's word does not lie. And the change that he is wanting to bring in your life is far better than what you're holding on to this morning. It's far better. To live for the Lord is so much better than to live for this world. And so if the Lord is speaking to you in this moment, we just invite you to make things right with the Lord. Just to repent if that's what he's asking you to do. To step out if that's what he's asking you to do. Perhaps whenever you read his word, he's asking you to step out in faith, to believe God for something that just seems impossible. Would you be willing to do that this morning? Would you be willing to allow the mirror of God's word to shine in your life, to produce faith in you? Perhaps you've been worried, you've been anxious, you've been fearful, you've been whatever it is, that you allow the mirror of God's word to shine in your life and believe that he is your everything. Everything that you need, he is. He is I am. He is more sufficient. He is sufficient for your every need this morning. Whether it's salvation or whether it's just a refreshing this morning, he is I am. And he has you. You are his son, you are his daughter, and he loves you with an unconditional love. Perhaps you just need to recommit yourself to the Lord this morning. It starts with a prayer, but it's a lifetime commitment, saying from this day forward, I'm going to follow after Jesus. And we would like to give you that opportunity to do so this morning as well. If you just need to recommit your heart to the Lord, or if you just want to be saved, we're just going to ask you to be bold. And would you stand to your feet? Because the Lord, He hung on a cross for you. He was publicly humiliated. He was spit upon. He was mocked. He was ridiculed for you. And the Lord says that if you are ashamed of me and my words, then I will be ashamed of you whenever you stand before God Almighty. I don't know about you, but I don't want the Lord to be ashamed of me. And so today we encourage you to stand up for the Lord. If that's you in this place, stand up on your feet. If you need to rededicate your life, stand up for Him, because He stood up for you. He stretched out His arms and said, I love you with an unconditional love. It doesn't matter about your past. It doesn't matter what you did. The Lord will forgive you. He says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Christ Jesus was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. But it starts with that confession. So right now, I encourage you with your own words to make a confession of faith. It may be something like this. I believe that you are Lord. I believe that you are my Savior. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I ask that you would come into my life and forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. After looking at the mirror of God's word, I see that I am unclean, that I am impure. My thoughts are impure. My ways are not pure. Would you forgive me? Would you save me? In your own words, say a prayer, something like that. But and let me just tell you that it's not in the prayer, it's in the faith that you are saved. It says, by grace you are saved, and by faith you are saved. And you must also let the enemy know, because he will try to come and try to discredit what God has done in your life this morning. He will say, you're foolish to believe that. Who do you think you are, that you can just repent of your sins and that God will forgive you from all unrighteousness? Because this is absolute truth. We stand on the word of God. We stand on His word that says, I can be pure. I can be made whole. So from this day forward, your old sinful flesh is no more. And behold, a new person is rising in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we declare that over your lives today. We declare that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that there is no devil in hell that can tear you down. There is no devil in hell that can separate you from the mighty name of Jesus. We declare that you are saved in Jesus' mighty name, and let it be established in your heart. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Lord, for the rest of us, Lord, this morning, God, our heart is that we would be pure. Our heart is that we would allow your word to shine in our lives, and that we would be willing to take the necessary changes as you instruct. So we love you, and we give you all the praise and all the glory in this place, and let God's people say, amen.
Amen. Go with Jesus. Allow the Lord to speak to you this week and through this series as we look for the Lord to change our ways. Go and hug someone's necks. We'll see you this Wednesday at 6:30, and don't forget Church of the Park at the end of the month.